Oh, glory, turn to Joel. Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. Read it with me. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm telling you, we are here. You know, God has been pouring out His Spirit in a mighty way. And He's continuing to pour out His Spirit. And in this, He's beginning to show signs and wonders in the heavens, in the skies. And I want to talk a little bit about this, because there's something very important that we must understand. And I want to talk about the watch and the warning. That's the name of tonight's teaching, the watch and the warning. You know, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And one of the things that it needs, it's not only the knowledge of what's happening here on earth, but it's the knowledge of what's happening in the heavenlies. Because those are signs of the times. Matthew chapter 16. In first four verses. Would you read it with me, please? Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, testing him, Jesus, that he would show them a sign from heaven. There's something very important, because even the Sadducees and Pharisees knew that God spoke from the heavens also. So they were asking for a sign from heaven, because they knew that the signs in the heaven would reveal the Messiah. So they went to him and they said, show us a sign from heaven. In other words, that you are truly him. But they don't realize that there was a sign already called the Star of Bethlehem. That was a specific sign in heaven that he was born. And in this, there was a line of the star was so bright because of the sign that manifested. There was certain planets and certain things in line that made it so bright at a specific time. And that was one of the signs already. But they ignored that sign. Does everybody understand? And he answered and said to them, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. He calls them hypocrites, idiots, boneheads. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Now, this is very important. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and no sign shall be given to except the sign of the prophet of Jonah. And he left them and departed. Now, the prophet of Jonah was in the whale's mouth for 3 days, right? He said, so this will be the sign for you, that which was dead will be in the earth for 3 days, and I will rise. What better sign do you want than that? So he says to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, see, again, they knew about the signs in the heavens, didn't they? And they wanted one to prove who Jesus was. And they can discern the face of the sky, because they used to look there all the time. But they couldn't discern the signs and the times. And the signs, what he talks about here, are lunar and solar events. They are cosmic events in the heavenlies. Does everybody understand that? What he's talking about, signs in the heavenlies. Are you hearing me? And the times are seasons. The times represent seasons, or they are known as the feasts of the Lord. There are seven feasts of the Lord, and everything coordinates everything around the seven feasts of the Lord. Everything. There isn't anything that is not coordinated of what God is doing in time and sequence without the seven feasts. And the heavenlies and the cosmic arena always associate with the feasts of the Lord. Are you hearing? Good. Go to Luke 19. Luke 19. Is everybody there? Verse 41. Now as he, Jesus, drew and he saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, in other words, it was their day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, enclose you, and on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, that they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your what? Visitation. Then he went into the temple and he began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to what he had to say. This is very powerful. He says, listen, destruction is going to come to those who do not watch and understand. Now, you must clean out your temple from worldliness. Do you all understand what he just did here? He shared with them, listen, you don't understand the time of visitation. You don't understand the time and the signs. What's he talking about? You can't understand the signs in the heavenlies and coordinate those with the feast of the Lord. Now I'm going to share with you about the feast here in a minute so that we get more understanding of where we are right now. Go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. In verse 1. Let's read it together. Start at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So the heavens declare the glory of God. What's the heavenlies? It's the cosmic. He said, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. So day unto day utters speech. What does? The heavenlies. And night unto night reveals knowledge. You notice you can see more things in the heavenlies at night. He said, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, there's nothing, no language, carnal language, that can interfere with what the message is, what the language of heaven is. Everybody will understand. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. Now I want you to understand that the tabernacle of God has three chambers. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And that's where God dwells with man. And he said, which is like a bridegroom coming out of what? His chamber. So out of the chamber of the tabernacle, the bridegroom comes. And rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat or presence. Again, the heavens declare his glory, the cosmic. In other words, you can see it better at night, can't you? Now, the tabernacle is of the sun. Now, it talks about cosmic. It talks about solar, doesn't it? But then it talks about, but out of it comes the what? Bridegroom. So he's not talking more, he's talking about, listen, here's the coordination between the things of God and the signs in heaven. And it's a speech, it's a language where everybody can understand. What he was declaring was the coming of the Lord. He's saying, look in the heavens and understand what is being said, and you'll know the coming of the Lord. Are you with me? Go to Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. In verse 1. Now a great sign appeared where? In heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. She was clothed with the what? Sun. With the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared where? In heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. Now I want you to understand something. These are talking about eclipses. There's a lunar and solar eclipse involving here. And he's also talking about the area of a sign in the heavens. Now we know that there, you gotta understand that prophetically, God speaks of past, present, and future. Hello? In fact, I want to share something with you about the book of Revelations. People are trying to understand the book of Revelations in chronological order. And that's not how it is. The book of Revelations has a seal with a trumpet and a bowl. You got it? Things just do not go seal, seal. It does not go trumpet, 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 bowl, 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 bowl. No, it goes seal, trumpet, bowl. Okay? These things are not just done chronologically. Does everybody understand? So you got to understand the book of Revelation. Now check this out. How come God spoke to John in a cosmic language? Think about that. He spoke to him in a cosmic language. What? Associated with the things of heaven. Because John understood. See, they understood these things. Why? Because they understood the feasts. There was times when certain specific feasts had full eclipses, and they knew there were special events. Are you with me? There's a full eclipse of a solar one and a full eclipse of a lunar one. So he's talking about this, and he's saying, listen, and he said that this fiery dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads, and his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, I want you to look at this naturally as Israel being the woman. Because that's where the child came from, right? Now, I want you to also look at this in another arena, that this is also something that's going to come. What do you mean by this is going to come? Because all of the earth is going to come against Israel. But it's also meaning something else. He's talking about the rapture here also. Why? Now listen to this. Does the Bible not tell us that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places? Does it not tell us that we died with Christ and rose with Him? Does it not tell us that we're seated right with Him? Right? So it says here that the male child was what? Taken up. So if the male child was taken up, where's his body? It's taken up too. Do you understand? It's taken up too. Now watch this. Then it says that, and the woman, all right, now the woman will be taken and has a place for her. Well, who is the woman? The bride. Do you understand that we are not only his body, but we are his what? Bride. Which was taken up and fed. How long? That's 3.5 years. Do you get it? Why? Because when the great tribulation breaks out here, you'll be removed. While we're being fed for 3.5 years, great tribulation will be on the earth. Do you understand? But he gave us a sign about what's going to happen cosmically. There'll be a solar and a lunar full eclipse in the same year. I'm not going to get into all of this tonight. But we're going to talk more about this next Tuesday. Because there's somebody that can explain a lot more than me. Is everybody okay? Now look at, now if you go, oh man, I don't know if I should go there or not. Okay, look at, go to verse 7. Because now this is what's happening now. While you and I are getting fed up there, then it says, and war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels also fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in the heavens any longer. Well, where are they going to go? To the earth. In the natural realm. Oh. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. In other words, they were cast out from the spirit realm into the natural realm. Do y'all get it? And then they came against the world and all those who were left behind who became believers. And it says, and then I heard a loud voice in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. That's when the Lord returns with me and you. And who accused the brethren before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Did not love their lives to death. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Start at verse 1, please. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, these are my feasts. Now the word feast means appointed time. Feasts mean appointed time. So God is saying, listen, Moses, I want you to set this up. These are going to be my appointed times. All right? Of what? Visitation. My appointed times of revelation. My appointed times that I'm going to set with you, with man. You know, one of God's desires was that he wanted to dwell with man, didn't he? I mean, didn't he ask Moses to build a tabernacle? It was God's desire. In fact, he dwelt with Adam and Eve until they blew it. They bit rotten food. They ate the wrong stuff. They disobeyed God. And they got thrown out of the pool. I mean, the garden. Everybody out of the pool. And he got thrown out of the garden because they were disobedient. And then Satan took over. They lost the sight of God. They only could hear. They took on his nature and all their offsprings were born in darkness. That's why you and I are born in darkness. We're flesh creatures until you're born again. Then you're born of the Spirit. Seven feasts of the Lord. These are appointed times. Now, I want you to understand that there are spring feasts and fall feasts. In other words, winter or fall. Spring and fall. There are seven feasts. The number seven means complete and perfect. These feasts, everything is associated with it. Everything. And it's not enough expressed or spoken about or taught, especially if they're known as appointed times. And the feasts are, verse 4, would you read it with me? And these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. It says, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's what? Passover. Okay, now only Jesus can fulfill these feasts. He's the only one that can fulfill them. Are you with me? That's why Jesus died on the feast. He was crucified on the feast of Passover. All right? Then the next feast is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, unleavened means not evil. Right? And he lived an unleavened life, but he went to hell where leaven was. Are you hearing me? Because Satan was known as leaven, and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from him. And then the third feast is called First Fruits, and that was known as Resurrection Day. So Jesus fulfilled the first three feasts in 3 days. These are called the spring feasts. Then there were 50 days after the resurrection, which is actually called the Feast of Weeks because it's about harvest, but that was known as Pentecost. That's when God poured out his fire or his spirit on his children. These are all called the feasts of the Lord. The first four feasts of the Lord are called spring feasts. There is the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened, the Feast of First Fruits, and the Feast of Pentecost. Those were all fulfilled. Now, these are the spring feasts. The fall feasts are the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacle, which is all in the same month, in 15 days. Do you understand? And the first three feasts of Passover, Unleavened, and First Fruits was the same month. Are you getting it? Then 50 days later was Pentecost. So these are spring and fall feasts, or winter feasts. And you can look this all over, and we also have a teaching on the seven feasts of the Lord. I encourage you to get them and give you a little bit of understanding. And Matthew 24, would you go there with me? See, God is speaking to His people through the signs in the heavenlies and through His feasts also. In Matthew 24, in verse something, let's see. Verse 3. So again, I want to share with you that Jesus fulfilled the first four feasts have been fulfilled. Okay? Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, and Pentecost. Now, I want you to understand again that everything that God does is on a specific feast. In fact, Jesus was born on the Feast of Tabernacle. But He didn't fulfill that feast yet. He was born. That feast is a fall feast. And we'll go a little further in a minute here. In Matthew 24 and verse 3. Now, as He sat on the Mount of Olives, His disciples came to Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these signs be?" Well, when will these things be? "And what will be the sign of Your coming in the end of the age?" So they were looking for something cosmic. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in My name, saying that I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Is there wars and rumors of wars now? "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." That's ethnic groups. "And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places." Is that happening now? Yes, tremendously, more than ever. He said, "All these are the beginning of sorrows." So these things are called the beginning of sorrows. I want you to know that we're almost at the end. In fact, we probably are so close to the end of the beginning of sorrows that the next event will begin. He said, "Then it will deliver you up to" what? "Tribulation." So there's three parts. There's the beginning of sorrows, right? And then there's tribulation and great tribulation. Now, tribulation is 3.5 years, and great tribulation is 3.5 years. That's talking about Jacob's trouble. I know there's a lot to this, and I don't want to go too deep to have to try and go to all areas and share this. So I just want to bring you to the basics of it. So we have the beginning of sorrows, tribulation, and great tribulation. Are you with me? Okay. Tribulation is 7 years long. So you have tribulation and great tribulation, 3.5 years each, right? Remember when it says that the male child was caught up, right? So if the male child was caught up, so were we. So you can't look at this carnally. You got to look at it. Wait a minute, me and Jesus are one, man. So if He was caught up, I was caught up. Right? Okay. So it says that they were caught up, and then they were fed 3.5 years. Why? Because that's in the great tribulation. Now the tribulation is going to be deceptive. They're going to talk about peace, peace. There'll be false prosperity. Most people won't even know they're in tribulation yet. But we will. Oh, glory. Let's go a little further. "Then it will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for My name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. The many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Look at how much that's happening even now. But he who endures to the end shall be what? Saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. In other words, he's given a sign here of great tribulation, which is the wrath of the enemy. Watch this. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the what? Winter or on the Sabbath. Why the winter? Because it's associated with the fall feasts. It's called the day of the Lord. And he will return during that period of time in the fall feasts for atonement and tabernacles. Why? He will come during the atonement, during the Feast of Atonement. War will break out in Armageddon. And he will come to end the atonement and start the tabernacle. You understand that? So that's a fall feast. That's why it says, woe to them who are pregnant during that time. Why? Because it's going to be hell on earth. Woe to them during that period of time in the winter time. Don't go back. Don't go back to the places. Keep going. Now understand something I want to share with you. This here is not to bring fear. We should not be afraid. You don't have to worry about anything. We're not accounted for wrath. So you don't have to pack up and move and, you know, dig holes and try and get food to survive for 40 years and stuff like this. That's foolishness. You're the child of the Most High God. Hey, if angels got to bring groceries to your house, he will. Now, in verse 21, it says, for then there'll be what? Great tribulation, such as not been seen, the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. Unless the days had been shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. The elect's sake here is the Jews. So we know that the Lord is going to come to the earth. Now listen. The first time Jesus came, he came as a prophet, didn't he? As a savior. All right? That was his first coming to the earth. Then he's going to come, but he's not coming to the earth. He's going to take the church away. Right? Then 3.5 years later, he'll return to judge. In other words, his judgment will go forth through the wrath of the devil, but God will come and judge himself at the tabernacles. At the end of atonement. So we call that day the day of the Lord. Why? Because it's the day of his vengeance. So we've got the first coming and the second coming. And then we have the day of the Lord. But many people call the second coming when he touches the earth. But I don't call it that. Because I think it confuses people. He's coming on the earth. He came already. He was born on the Feast of Tabernacle, right? Not to fulfill it, but he was born on that day. And then he's coming again for the rapture to remove the church. And we already saw what the signs were going to be in the book of Revelation. We just read it in Revelation 12. There'll be cosmic signs again, weren't there? And then there'll be cosmic signs of his return to fulfill the Feast of Tabernacle. Are you hearing me? So he's going to come in a day of atonement to finish the atonement. And the atonement is going to be for Israel. And then he's going to build his tabernacle. In fact, we will. And then we will reign here for 1,000 years. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now why are we hearing this? Because it's preparing you for what you're going to hear later. It's going to blow your socks off. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, is everybody there? Start at verse 1 right here. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. In other words, concerning the signs in the heavenlies in the feasts of the Lord, I shouldn't have to write to you, because you should know them. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. This is the tribulation. When they say peace and safety, because there'll be peace and safety for 3.5 years. Things will look gloom, and then all of a sudden there'll be an organization that will step up and begin to bring all of this wisdom and knowledge and rescue, and there'll be a 7-year treaty, and all of these things will begin to happen, and everything will just seem to be flowing cool, and then the 10 kingdoms will be manifested, which they are being manifested right now. The European Union is a kingdom. They have their own currency. United States is now becoming the Northern, the what now? The North American Union, which will be America, Mexico, and Canada. And there's already plans to build a tremendous road all the way through so that they can get through. These things are already in action. The 10 kingdoms will be manifested this year, most likely. It was all prophesied by Daniel. Is everybody okay? All right. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as a labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Let us what? Watch. What's the name of the teaching? The watch and warning. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whatever we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So I'm sharing with you again, it's not about fear. If fear is hitting you, that's not God. This should comfort you. Comfort means you have peace. You know that no matter what's going on around you, you're cool. All right? So you don't have to build arcs. Don't start building arcs in your driveway, you know. You know, digging holes and getting all this stuff and packing stuff, you know. Anyway, you're not appointed there. Now, there's another thing I want to share with you. I want you to go to Matthew 17, please. So we're not accounted for the wrath, are we? Unless you're a bad boy or a bad girl. Remember, who you serve is where you go. I wouldn't want to... Never mind. Don't be getting caught, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're caught already. It doesn't matter. God knows exactly what you do behind closed doors. It's amazing that people are, they think, well, nobody sees me. Hello? The one that's matters is the one that's seeing you. Don't be afraid about losing your job. Be afraid about losing your life. In Matthew 17, verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the what? Hey, didn't we talk about this already? Book of Revelation. And his clothes became as white as what? The light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, this is good for us to be here. is, if you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Now, this is something, this is powerful because Jesus was transfigured on the Feast of Tabernacle. But he still didn't fulfill the Feast of Tabernacle. So he was born on the Feast of Tabernacle. And about 30 years later or whatever, he was transfigured. Why? Because remember he said that he was the tabernacle. And what was the purpose of the tabernacle? God dwelling with man. Now, isn't it wild that Moses and Elijah was there? Now, in this, on the Feast of Tabernacle, Jesus was transfigured because the purpose of this was to let him know that he was the tabernacle, who he was before he died. Are you with me? On this, you have three individuals. Moses, who died, and God buried him, and then took him to heaven. Right? And went and got his body. He sent the angel to get his body. Elijah, who was taken alive. So he says after 6 days, which one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, so he's talking about after 6,000 years, I'm going to come and take you. And you will what? Be with me. But understand this. In the fullness of the tabernacle, how many chambers are there? Three. So you see, Moses was a representation, now I want you to understand this, as the outer court, because of the law. Jesus was a representation of the inner court, because he was the furnishings and brought the truth. And he bridged the what? Old Testament to the New Testament. And Elijah was taken up what? Alive, representing eternal life. So that was the most holy place. Are you with me? And this was all done on the Feast of Tabernacle. Why? Because the tabernacle of God was right there on earth in front of the disciples. And that's why they wanted to build three of them. Now, there's another sign. There's three tabernacles that will be built. The first one was with Moses. The second one was Solomon's temple. And the third one is the Lord when he comes. So he also gave us the time sequence of the removal of the body of Christ, didn't he? After 6,000 years. Those who are dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive will be taken up. And we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Glory to God. Now go to 2 Kings, chapter 2. Now you got to, these guys were watching, weren't they? They were watching. They were seeing all this stuff happen in front of them. But they also knew the feast. These were Jews that knew the sequences of the feast. And you got to remember something, that the Bible was written by Jews. So they don't coordinate everything together. Because to them it was common. It should have been understood about the coordination between the feasts and the events of what was happening. They know it. Hello? 2 Kings, is everybody there? And chapter 2 and verse something, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Would you read it with me? And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Okay, so Elijah threw his mantle on Elisha and he said, man, you're next. You're to replace me. In verse 9. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you what? See me. In other words, if you watch. If you watch. If you watch me being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not watch, it will not be so. And then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. In other words, I saw it. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the brook of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. So you see that he watched because he was a watchman and he saw it. He was what? Rewarded. Are you hearing me? That's why we're to be watching. We're to be what? Watching and understanding these things. We're to know the times and seasons. It's our responsibility. Wouldn't you agree? Good. Jesus told his disciples, remember when he went to go pray? He told his disciples, watch and pray or you'll fall into what? Temptation. He warned them, didn't he? He warned them. You know, there's not enough people who have truly a prayer life. They expect God to do all kinds of things for them, and he ain't doing nothing until there's fellowship. Fellowship and obedience. Go to Hebrews 11. In verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being what? Divinely warned. I'm telling you, we are being divinely warned in every area of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So we know that Noah was divinely warned, and he built an ark. Now, like I said, please don't go build arks, because you're being divinely warned. You're being divinely warned to watch and get prepared. You're being warned right now. Are you hearing? What? You want to enter the eternal ark, man. We're not one that's just going to float on this earth. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Start at 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So we see that there is preaching for what? Warning of every man. That's why you're hearing what's going on right now. That's why the Spirit is giving us this tonight. Why? So that we may know the times and seasons, so that we may watch and warn. Because we need to warn others. We need to warn them to what? Watch. You need to watch. Ezekiel 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Verse 18. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no what? Warning. Nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require on your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man, he's talking about the saved and unsaved. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. So when you break covenant with God, everything in heaven is gone. But you get an opportunity to start over if you're alive. Nevertheless, if you warn a righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. So we see here that we're to be watchmen in warning. Go to 2 Chronicles 36. No, God will always lead you to someone. Doesn't mean you're going to go around and get granola. I'm not saying that's not coming. I'm telling you, it's coming where you're going to know that you know that you know, and you won't even go to work. You'll leave your jobs. You'll walk out of places. The Spirit of God will be there. Why? Because you're watching. And He's going to send you to warn everyone. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 36. So you may wonder why you're here tonight. It's because you're an end time warrior. And you'll be the ones that will prepare the way the Lord's coming. And He's coming. 15 years ago, the Lord brought me in the Spirit and gave me a dream that blew my socks off. In fact, when I woke up, I ran to the window and started looking out. I kept telling my wife, "Did you see that? Did you hear that?" Because she thought I was nuts. But she was used to it by then. She knew I wasn't nuts then. She was like, "Okay, what happened?" And the Lord gave me a vision, and it was about His return. And about a year and a half ago, what He showed me came to pass. And fear came upon me. And it wasn't fear. It was godly fear. And He said, "Remember, this is my sign to you that I'm coming soon. So I know I will be alive in His return." Hello. Praise God. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 15. "And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his what? Messengers, rising up early and sending them because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place." So why are we being warned? Why are we to be watching? Because He's got compassion on His people, doesn't He? "But they mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, and scoffed at His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people, till there was no remedy." So even at that period of time, they mocked. People will mock you and they won't understand. They'll continue on with their life. "Oh, get out!" Just like the days of Noah. "Oh, get out!" There was Noah building an ark. Didn't even rain yet. People were like, "What's this guy doing?" Matthew 24. The watch and the warning. 24, verse 36. "But of the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood..." Have we had a lot of floods? Yeah. "They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage." And I'm not talking about just man and woman. We are in this time right now where approval of same-sex marriage has been spread and spreading even more. This is what He's talking about. "For in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in a field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So what's He saying? Watch. Now listen. The ones that are not watching are going to miss. Do you remember the parable about the virgins? There was the foolish virgins and the wise ones. The foolish weren't watching. There'll be the foolish that won't watch. There'll be the wicked servant that won't watch and will miss. Are you hearing me? And there'll be the lukewarm who are not watching and will miss. There'll be the foolish virgin, the wicked servant, and the lukewarm. They will miss. Are you hearing? Turn to 2 John. 2 John in verse 8. Start at verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That's why we must know the doctrine. That's why there's many false doctrines. The Bible says that many will take heed to deceiving spirits and fall from the faith in the latter days, listening to doctrines of demons. And there's a lot of goofy religion around. I mean religion. All kinds of stuff. You know, if everybody was truly filled with the Spirit of God, there would not be a denomination. Because a denomination only represents separation. In Revelation 3, and I'm going to close here. But God doesn't look at denominations, amen? He looks at the heart. But it'd sure be nice if everybody was slam dunked in the Holy Ghost. We'd be more like-minded. People wouldn't be arguing over doctrine. And I'm going to encourage you, don't argue over doctrine. It doesn't matter. If somebody don't know the gifts of the Spirit, hallelujah. They'll be looking for you for help. If they don't know the deep things of God, they'll be looking for you for help. So just help them. They're your brother, your sister. But you stand strong. And watch and warn. In Revelation 3, in chapter... Start at verse 1. And to the angel of the church of Sardius write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast in what? Repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names in Sardius who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And this is where we're at. Watch. The watch and the warning. Keep watching. And start warning. And when you get the information next month, or next week, you're going to be really watching and warning. Amen? Praise God. Father, thank you for your word tonight. We ask that you prepare our hearts and grant us full understanding of the time and seasons. Lord, we repent for any ignorance and stupidity that we have fallen into, doctrines of demons and selfish ambitions. And we commit all things to you, knowing that we are not only in the last hour, but we are in the last minutes. I ask that you keep us in the unity of your Spirit and keep us from the entanglements of idols, that we may be one with you and one with each other. Lord, we need more of your oil, more of your fire, and more of your love, that we may be one. And to you be all the glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.